The song says, with his stripes, I am healed. And the benefit of those stripes is interesting because we wasn't even there when he took those stripes. But God, through his infinite wisdom and his sovereignty, he used what Jesus Christ did for us and experienced for us to provide for our spiritual healing today. Amen? Let's thank God once again for the praise team. Man, I haven't heard music like that since probably December 2021. I can understand, of course, it's gospel music, but it's the music that touches the soul. I mean, you just can't sit still when Rip Rogers on the bass, but Cedric's on the drums. I heard you back there, man. I played drums all my life, and so I listened to drums and bass guitars, all those kind of things. About is Asabui. Abachide. Wasuzi Ocho Nyo. Just say good morning. Amen. Well, good morning, Good Hope. How are you today? I am glad to be here. You know, we understand that you don't miss something until you've gone away for a period of time. And so we just thank God for all the love that you have shown us, my wife and I, and thank you for just your prayers and your offers of condolences at my mom's passing. So that was a big shock to our family. She was 91 years old, so about 2 weeks before her 92nd birthday. So she had lived a full life. She spent 3 years with Marshall and I here, and so she came to Good Hope during those 3 years we were here. She was here. And so she got to enjoy Pastor Coldfield and to see the faces of some of you. But God called her home, and I was talking to her on the phone that Wednesday before she died. She died the following Monday, the 18th of March. And I was telling her we were coming home. I was going to surprise her at first. And my sister said, no, don't surprise her. Just tell her you're going to come home so she'll give her hope and all those kind of things. She died of a form of lung cancer. And so she was just planning, oh, when you come home, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. We're going to just sit down and talk all day. And I was at Wednesday, and that Saturday, I started getting text messages. In Uganda, we are 8 hours ahead of Houston time. And so I started getting text messages, and she was taken to the emergency room. And then, of course, getting stable, all that kind of stuff. Then they put her in hospice, hospital, something like that kind of thing. And I was like, nah, I've been around enough and went visit enough hospitals and hospices and all that kind of stuff. Said, she ain't coming out of there. That's just my thoughts. And then so through that process there, I was at work that Monday morning, about 11:30 their time. And I got a call from my sister. And I saw area code 310 come on my phone. I said, that's California time. I said, she wouldn't be calling me at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, California time, unless something's bad. Well, good in this case, because God called her home. So she was a believer in Christ. So something good happened. And God brought about perfect healing. So with Jesus Christ's stripes, she was healed. She was saved, baptized, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, all those things. And so God says, I'm going to heal you perfectly, so there's no more heartache, no more pain, no more tears, none of those things, no more suffering. She said, come on home. And so we rejoice in that. And of course, and we had to jump through the hoop to get plane tickets, all those kind of things, and come home and see her. And so everybody was wondering how I was doing, because I was taking care of all of our state and everything. And I said, did she cry yet? I said, I'm good. I mean, you know, she was a believer, and I talked to her 3-4 times a week, and so I know where she is. And one of her favorite songs that she sung, which would always ask me to sing when I got home, it's an old song, was titled, I Wants to Be at the Meeting. I think the Dixie Hummingbirds or somebody way back then, somebody that sung that song. And so And I was in the sermon, I was talking about how I understand that song now the better. Because one of the verses says, when I get to heaven, I'll meet my mother there. The song says, good God Almighty, here comes my child. Her saying to me, he must have gotten here by prayer. And so the song, I flipped it around to the fact that her mother said that. So my mom's saying, when I get to heaven, she's going to meet her mother there. And her mother was going to say, good God Almighty, here come my child. She must have gotten here by prayer. And so we had a great time celebrating her life. She had obituary, everything done 2 years in advance kind of thing. So she was just preparing to go. So all that was good. So, yeah. So Uganda's good. Uganda's good. We enjoying ourselves there. Part of the message today is going to be something I lived while there and still living. And just want to encourage you guys with that idea as well. Marshall, did you come in yet? Okay. Where is she? I don't see your hand there. Oh, she's coming in. Okay, I can't see back there. Okay. Yeah, so God has been able to use, we've been married 39 years. And to each other. And, you know, I tell folks sometimes now, we're to the point in our marriage where we like each other. Because, see, like is on the other side of love. And so we just enjoy each other's company. I'm with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the last 2.5 years, every day, every night. And we still love each other. Yeah, that's good. So she's having a good time at our new location. I tell people sometimes she's thriving. Her ministry is probably bigger than my ministry. Not that it was comparing at all, but she is in a situation that most people don't see. Because most of the time they don't see us over there. We get questions lots of times about, well, are there many black people in America? You know, things like that. You're the first one I've ever seen. You know, so one of the key things is that I'm working with Pastor Johnson and Pastor Cofield and these guys. You must come. You must come. Even if it's just to come, let them see your face, that you exist, that we exist. Sometimes the issue is, why didn't you come back for us? Then sometimes you say, well, why didn't you come get us? So God is good, and just thank you for that. So we love you guys. Thank you. I mean, my heart is full, and I'm not going to cry, so you're okay. Wouldn't look good. And they have a thing in Uganda where they say when men cry, the tears go on the inside. When I tell them it's not biblical, but okay, I say, well, Jesus Christ cried. I mean, okay. But anyway, so, amen. Let's pray and spend our time in the Word. Father, thank you once again for your grace and mercy toward us. Lord, just amazed at you, all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do, Father, as we open our hearts to you to do what you plan to do. May we resist the urge, Father God, to not just see the need, Father, but to also feel the need. You said in your words, Father, in Matthew 9, 37, 38, that the harvest is plentiful, but all the laborers are sitting inside of our churches. And Christ says, we must beg you, plead with you to cast out more workers, more laborers into the harvest. And so, Father, as we go through this salt and light fair today, that people would understand how you want to use us. Bless Pastor Cofield, Father, as he's serving in New York. Bless these people, Father God, that I love. You brought my wife and I here to worship and serve and celebrate. And they've allowed us to be who you have us to be. For your glory, for your honor, and for your praise. Amen. One of the greatest ways to show the love of God and share the love of God with others is through serving. And the ministry of serving is like a coin. I have a quarter here. It has two sides. One side is what? And what's the other side? Well, just like a coin has two sides, you can't get one without the other. When it comes to serving in ministry, there are also two things. They come in a pair. They come together. You can't separate one without the other. One side is blessings, and the other side is burdens. They go together. You can't have one without the other. I think Frankie Beverly and May said a number of years ago, joy. Oh, you know that song too? Like what? All right. Many times we want the testimony without a test. We want the mountaintop without the valley. We want the triumph without the trials. But guess what? It don't work that way. Blessings are the gift or the capacity to experience, to enjoy, or to extend the goodness of God in my life with the life of someone else. In other words, God provides all that we need to accomplish all that is under our area of influence. Your home, your job, your school, the community, the supermarket, everywhere we have influence. And burdens are the things that oppress us. Of course, sin is a great burden. It weighs you down. It's like a heavy weight on you. But burdens can also be a difficult duty, something that requires effort. It is also a Christian's responsibility, a burden. Christ even said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, that we should bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But the mistake we make sometimes is that we want the blessings without the burdens. And that's not really a reality. They come as a package. And so therefore the goal then is to accept the blessings and bear the burdens as we serve others. And that includes ourselves. So therefore, on this Salt and Light Ministry Fair Day, I want to share with you and encourage you from this thought how to enjoy the blessings and burdens in serving others. They are there. They are there. How to enjoy the blessings and burdens in serving others. I use the word enjoy because the idea is to possess something, to embrace something, the benefits that we get from the blessings and the burdens of serving others. It's not something that's amoral. There's a blessing, there's a benefit in it for you and I. And there are three key words today that I want to talk about, a highlight that will kind of give us a key foundation in our text. The first word is attitude. The second word is dependency. And the third word is purpose. What's the first word? What's the second word? And the third word? That's it right there. Those three key terms there are how we enjoy the burden, the blessings and burdens of ministry, serving others. Our text today is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. If you don't mind, let us all read it together, please. You find it on the screen. Let's read. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So if we want to enjoy the blessings and the burdens of serving others, so when you go across into the fellowship hall and think about signing up for one of the various ministries there, know and understand that whether you're in your own home serving, because husbands, we are called to serve our wives. Wives, you're called to serve your husbands. Parents, you're called to serve your children. Children, you're called to serve your parents. Believers, you're called to serve other believers. Believers, you're also called to serve unbelievers. Our first point is simply this. If you want to enjoy the blessings and burdens in serving others, man, get in your head to serve others with the gift that you have received from God. Amen? That's your attitude. Serve others with the gift you have received from God. The text says, as each has received. The point is, you didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You can't buy it. And that gift there is the idea of a spiritual gift, charisma. It's a gift that God gives through the Holy Spirit. He gives to every believer at the point of your salvation. The point is, he chooses which gift to give you as far as how you fit in the body of Christ. You realize we are a body, right? Everyone can't be the eye. Because if we were all with the eye, then how would I have a right foot to balance myself? We all can't be the ear. Because if we were the ear, then I wouldn't have a hand to hold a mic with. So God saw fit to bless us or give us that gift as he saw fit for we can serve in the body of Christ. So that capacity then to experience and enjoy and extend the goodness of God in our life to others is seen through serving. Interesting that the Holy Spirit decides who get which gifts. He didn't ask Mark Sloan, what do you think you want? What do you think you can do best with? No, every Christian has at least one gift. But every Christian has at least one gift, but no one Christian have all the gifts. And spiritual gifts are not for my benefit. That's called selfishness. They are for the benefit of others to build up the body of Christ, not only numerically for one, but also in quality. Because God's whole purpose of saving us is to conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts are to produce maturity in us. If you read the book of 1 Corinthians, they had all kinds of problems. They did not understand spiritual gifts. Now, if you want to know more about spiritual gifts, there's a class that I think we still offer you a call, Discovery 301. They'll go very deep into spiritual gifts. Amen? So this attitude then, since we have received the gift, is the attitude of humility. Serve with humility. It means with lowliness of mind to see yourself how God sees you. Not comparing yourself to anybody else. Because if you did, you can say, well, only those who are 6'2" have the gift of dancing, the gift of singing. Well, there's a lot of folks in here who are not 6'2". So therefore, you couldn't have that gift. So the point of it is not comparing ourselves to other people, but comparing ourselves to what God says we ought to be. And he says, compare yourself to none other than Jesus Christ. We must compare ourselves to him. It doesn't matter what your personality type is. We ought to serve with humility. Now, I am an extrovert. You may be an introvert. Doesn't matter. I am more of a person who does things on intuition, on how I take in information. You may be one who senses certain things. Me, I am a thinker. You could be a person who feels when it comes to how you make decisions. I am one, unfortunately, is more of a judging type. The Word of God says this, you didn't do that. And not necessarily a perceiving type from the standpoint of how we deal with the world. But the point of it is, God has uniquely wired every last one of us in this room for a purpose that he has for you and I to accomplish. I shared with the 8 o'clock service that 2016 time frame, who's in World Ventures office in Denver, Colorado, and each one there was sharing their testimony. And I told the guys, I said, I'm finally begin to figure out how God has got me wired. I'm doing various things, involving various things, but I'm finally beginning to see, I don't see it clearly just yet, but I see how God has got me wired. And then when Marshall and I answered the call to go serve in Uganda full time, I said, I see it. I see it. Everyone has been created in Christ Jesus, and we have been created to play a strategic and a tactical role in God's plan for the world. So we see the blessing. We see we have been given a gift. All right? So therefore, where does the burden come in this thing? Well, the burden comes in 10b. Verse 10 starts off again, as each has received a gift, use it to do what? To do what? Now, I don't hear everybody saying serve, because this applies to everybody. We are all in the body of Christ. We are to do what with the gift? Serve who? Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit says God has given you a blessing of a gift, and he's wiring you to do a certain thing, and that wiring is to serve who? Others. Wow. How good are you doing with that? We are not to sit down on our gifts that God has given us. We're not to take our gift and put it in a box and put it on a shelf and wait for God to come get it. That's the guy that hid his talent in the ground. I hope that's not you today. So that burden, that responsibility is to use the gift that God given us. I love when I was talking to Pastor Cofield a couple of years or so ago, this idea of salt and light. We are to be salt and light. How effective is salt in a salt shaker? How effective is light in a room full of light? But God says we ought to be salt and light. And also, another thing you all were talking about, not just doing church, but what? Oh, that's responsibility. He blessed you already. But now the responsibility comes in. Are you going to be salt and light? How are you doing at that? Are you going to be church? How are you doing at that? That's that burden. God wants to use what he has given to you to make an eternal impact in someone's life. One thing I found, even over in Uganda, where I'm from, in churches over there, and it's the same thing here. People are selfish. I did an assignment in my class for the students to go to their various churches that weekend. And I said, when the prayer time comes, write down all the things that the people pray for. You know what they prayed for? Me, myself, and I. And so each of the students, I had six students, and they would give their report as to what they heard in church that Sunday morning when prayer time. It was me, myself, and I. Wasn't thinking about anybody else. But God calls you and I because he has gifted us to be different in order to make a difference. Did you get that? We can't be like everybody else because we're not like everybody else. We have been born again. Those who have been born again, we are indwelt with the power of the Holy Spirit. So we are different. And God says, now, Mark Sloan, use your difference. You are different now, so use it to be make a difference. Amen. Serve others. Diakoneo, to wait on, to serve, to administer. God calls us to be servants and not bosses, not to be chairman or presidents. Christ says it perfectly in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 and 26. Jesus Christ says, and he called them to himself and said, you know the rulers of the Gentiles. You don't have to guess. He said, you know. And what do? They lord it over them. And not only that, and the great ones exercise authority over them. But Christ says, but you are part of my people. You are part of my troop. You are part of my tribe. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. I recall a story Pastor Kofi told us. This has been years ago now. When Good Hope had the worldly titles to the various ministries. I'm sure some of you all probably remember that. The president of the choir. The vice president of the deacon board. The president of this. And Pastor said he had changed it to being a servant. So you're lead servant of the deacon board, lead servant of the children's ministry, lead servant of guest relations. And Pastor said, some folks decided, well, since I can't be the president, I don't want to serve anymore. I want to keep my title. I got in trouble pretty bad over in Uganda because I came talking about the word of God. And the idea was, well, show me the word reverend in the Bible applied to a man. And they couldn't. I said, show me the word president in the Bible applied to a minister leader. And they couldn't. I said, show me where you have a chairman of the deacon board or a chairman of the children's ministry. Show me the Bible. They couldn't. And so I was always in good trouble because I was sharing the word of God. I said, hey, well, let's follow the word of God, what it says. And so I did the graduation message in 2022. And now I got my name on the blacklist. Because the point was, we are the potentates. You all are sitting over here worried about titles and status and positions. And the evidence I saw is that from the floor to the roof, leadership failure and church ineffectiveness. And I discussed that in my graduation message. The graduates was over here, and the potentates who I was talking to was over here. So the graduates were just listening in on my, I can't say chastisement, but rebuke of the potentates. So graduation 2023 come around. I didn't get invited to even say a prayer. To do a welcome. It says, oh, no, 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 no. Because I ruffled some feathers. I said, guys, when we get to heaven one day, he's not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful professor. He's not going to say, well done, thy good and faithful missionary. Or well done, thy good and faithful chairman or president. He ain't going to say that at all. He's going to say, well done, thy good and faithful. I said, that's all I want to hear him say. I don't care what he calls me, other than the fact that he calls me a servant. That means I'm being who he called me to be. What is he calling you? God wants servants. My time is running out. I'm sorry. He wants Christians to make themselves available for him to use, to do what he wants you to do, say what he wants you to say, go where he wants you to go. And that's what he calls for us, to be salt and light, be in the church. So humility is to be our attitude, characterized by, so point B, serve others faithfully. It's right there in the text, verse 10c, as good stewards, okay, of God's varied grace. That various grace is the grace he gave us in the gift. We got various gifts, so we ought to be stewards of God's grace. That idea of faithfulness, being faithful, carries the idea of a manager or someone who manages the affairs or the property of another. These gifts don't belong to us. They belong to God. And God has given them to us to manage for his glory, for his good. There's a friend of mine, Marshall and I met. We had dinner with him, lunch with him yesterday, dinner with him last night. And met them when we first got here 32, 33 years ago. They had been trying for years before we got here to have children, and they couldn't have kids. And then the last time they tried, it was another miscarriage. And he knew I was a preacher, so he gave me the opportunity to bury the child, to do the eulogy. So, you know, I've never did a child before. You go there, and the casket's about that big, and your heart just drops. And I knew they had been trying for years and was unsuccessful to have a child. And so at the end of the service, I just did Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Just trust God. So at the end of the service, he wanted to give me some money. I said, look, Doc, man, I don't want anything, man. No. You take it. No. He said, look, Sloan, take the money. Okay. He says, guess what? I don't have to buy a prom dress. He says, I don't have to walk my daughter down the aisle for her to get married. I said, stop. Because I had a son and a daughter. But years later, his wife had a stroke. Her left side is, you know, normally you have a stroke, you lose kind of some mobility in the left side a bit. But he takes care of her and is a true representative of a servant. He bathes her. He cooks for her. He cleans the house. He cleans the car. Does everything. He does everything for her because she don't have that ability. And we saw him yesterday at the restaurant we went to, and he got out the car. You know, he got out the car first, got all the stuff. We around, got her, and she walked. I'm not mocking her, but I'm just giving you the idea. You know, it took about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes to get to the door. But I saw his patience. He wasn't, come on, get in now. But he walked with her and just cheering her up, giving her all kinds of words. Yeah, we're going to get some pizza in here. We're going to eat here and sit down and with the Sloans. We have not seen them in a few years. And just, I'm like, my goodness. Trustworthy. Reliable. Dependable. was like, man, look at this. That is the heart of a servant right there. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. See, our faithfulness is seen in how we develop our spiritual gift, not put it on a shelf. And therefore, we should use our gifts to honor God and also to edify others. But with that humble attitude characterized by being faithful, it's also out of love. You cannot serve people if you don't love them. I'm not talking about phileo, which is brotherly love. I'm not talking about eros, which is a sexual type of love. But Paul is talking about agape. It's a love that seeks the highest good of its object, as God defines the good. See, we can't define the good because my good and your good may be different. I may not do what you expect me to do, because my good will only go so far. But God says, no, you keep going. And you keep pouring yourself out. Galatians 5:13, Paul says, for you were called to freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Because we are all susceptible of doing that. Following with my flesh. Well, I ain't. And God says, what? Through what? Love. Serve what? One another. So the main motivation behind our serving others is love. Because if it's not love, then we won't do what God asks us to do. God wants you and I to do what he does. That love is the greatest motivation to do anything. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world. God is the unmoved mover. We can't move him. Our prayers can't move him. That's why you pray according to his will. You pray according to what he wants to do for you. And therefore, the answer is always yes. But he's moved because he loves us. That's it. And God says, I want you to have the same kind of love. But going a little further, the idea is that that same kind of love we have access to. Look at your second point. Serve others in the strength provided by God. You have the attitude, humility, but now you have the dependency. God provides the strength. You see it? Not Mark Sloan's strength. I would have stayed in America. I would have been playing golf. Verse 11 says, A and B, it says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. God's word through our words that we say, and then we show others through how we serve them. So we can share God's love and also show God's love. Isn't that amazing? God gives us the gifts of the Spirit, and then he gifts us with power or strength to accomplish the things he wants us to accomplish. I love that word, strength there. It's the word iskous. Can you say that, iskous? Say it again, iskous. Oh, that's a beautiful word. It carries the idea of the capability to function effectively. See, we have dunamis, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's there to make us, give us the potential to do all that we need. But we also need iskous, the ability to what? Function effectively. We all know the story about a bull in a china closet. He's just big. He just knocks everything down and tears everything up and knocks things over and breaks things. That's dunamis. But iskus is the capacity or the capability to function effectively. Well, that same bull can go into that same china closet and be able to go around and not knock anything down. Finesse, agility. And that's what you and I need in serving others. Here's why. Let's go a little further. I submit to you that iskus here is the Holy Spirit as well. The power that you and I need to function effectively in ministry, in serving others. Because it is impossible for you and I to live the Christian life on our own strength. We can't do it. You're doomed to fail. You will fail. And by the way, if you're failing in the Christian life, that might be why. You are trying to do it on your own strength. And God says, why? Ephesians 5:18 gives us a hint to it. But Paul says in the last part of that verse, be filled with the Spirit. You see, God's Holy Spirit wants to control you. God is requiring supernatural things from you and I to do, and we have no power to do it on our own. So he gave us a supernatural spirit, a supernatural being to help accomplish what he wants us to do. And if the Holy Spirit is controlling us, so we act out of character, just like wine or alcohol can take a person out of their character to do things they don't normally do. But the Holy Spirit gets us also in character. So now we can do the things that God wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. But look here, going further. God's strength is needed to overcome any and all challenges that you and I face, or will face, maybe already have faced, in serving others. We need God's strength. We need that iskus to help us overcome all challenges that we may face in ministry. And these challenges are the burdens as well. They can hinder us from fulfilling our responsibility of being salt and light, of being the church. You hang up your servant hat. You hang up your servant vest. You put away your servant shoes because you said, I've had it. We need the iskus to deal with difficult people. We need God's iskus to deal with difficult people. They are sinful. They are selfish. They could be saints who sin or saints who ain't. They could be in your family, in your household, in your schools, on your jobs, and guess what? In your churches. So the question is, I'm going to say that, I'm sorry, keep going. There could be different ethnicities, ungrateful, mean, hateful, ignorant, entitled. They may have unrealistic expectations, uncaring, unmotivated. And many times, they only want what you can give them. Turn that around. They only want what they can get from you. So the question is, okay, don't raise your hand. Is there anybody in here that fit that category? Maybe you're here and you served in the food pantry or the CEE or with Reconstruction of a Survivor, ushers, greeters, the various ministers next door over there. Have you experienced those kind of people? They're there. They're there. But no matter how they are or who they are, with the blessings, which is the gift, and the iskus, the strength that God supplies, we can treat them still with dignity and respect because they are what? Created in the image of God. I can share some stories, but I don't have time. How about difficulty in serving with others? These are the people you serve with. They're on your team. They're in your ministry. The people you serve with. The burden comes in when you know their frailties. You know their shortcomings. They try to make themselves look good by making you look bad. Sometimes we are jealous of their ministries, of their gift. They may be people from other ethnicities. They may be better skilled at some things than you are. They may not be as mature or spiritual as you are, or more spiritual or mature as you think you are. They may not be saved. But here's the point. They may know the same things about you. But again, no matter how or who they are, when God blesses us with his gift of the Spirit and his gift of iskus, the strength, then we can still treat the people we serve with dignity and respect because they are also created in the image of God and they are our brothers and sisters of Christ. Amen? Maybe you serve in a toxic environment. This environment you serve in may not always have your best interests at heart. It could be your family, schools, work environment, maybe the organization you choose to share with. They don't do things like you do it. They do things the way they do it. The environment could possibly be unsafe, maybe even hostile. The question is, how are you going to respond? I know my time is running out. Twice last year, once in March and once in April, we had thieves break into the compound. The compound we lived in had one house, and it had a brick house, and it had a fence around it, where other missionaries had it years before. And it had barbed wire fence, razor wire on the top of the fence. So this thief came in one night, and our security guy, of course, he said one of the guys had a gun. So he stayed in the room, which makes sense, right? You don't go out there. He has a gun, you don't have a gun. Well, you never bring a fist to a gunfight, So they took some things from the yard that were hidden behind in a certain place, and the only people who would have known it was there was someone who had been there before. Okay. 2 weeks later, they came in again. Somebody else came in. I don't know who came in. But they came in this time, and they snuck into our yard man's, security guy's room, took his keys. So now they had keys to everything. The house keys, the front door, the back door, the gates, my office, everything, took everything. And so they went to the front gate, took the locks off the gate so they can get out easily. And they came back and was getting ready to go into the office. Now, the office was a little difficult to get into because the foundation was cracking, and so you had to kind of, to get the door open. And when they did that, of course, the guy woke up and chased him away. This is on Good Friday last year, okay? Now, I had organized at the school there the last seven sayings of Christ at the school. The first time they ever did anything like that. So we stayed up all night because guess what? They had the keys to the house. They might come back. So when 8 o'clock in the morning came, Went to the store, bought new locks, all that kind of stuff. Paid a lot of money for locks. It's very expensive over there, locks are. So went to the Seven Last Sins of Christ program. Everything went well. So now, the week prior to that, there were some rebels from the Congo, the country next door to Uganda, to the west of Uganda. We were about an hour and 45 minutes from there. They had came into a school, and they killed like 37 students and people, burned the place down, just had a big mess. So about 45 minutes from where I worked at, about an hour and a half from where we lived. And so the students was terrified, okay? And so they had protested. We're not going to class because we can't be concerned about our safety. And so when I got to that Wednesday morning, I'm like, okay, why everybody outside? What's going on kind of thing? The Army guys were there from that standpoint. So I'm sitting down trying to listen. They wasn't speaking in English, okay, so. But I knew enough to kind of figure out what they were saying. And then so they said, hey, well, Reverend Sloan, you want to come say something? Okay. And I shared with them that story about the break-ins we had. Because on that Sunday, God says, hey, Mark, guess what? It wasn't those locks that kept you safe. He said it wasn't that fence outside with the razor wire on top that kept you safe. It wasn't none of that. It wasn't the security guard you had kept you safe. He said, I kept you safe. And so he dropped that on me as I was going to speak to the students. And I had a testimony that just happened two, 3 days earlier to share with them about what God has done. So in other words, this idea of unsafe environment or the environment you live in, it's all controlled by God. You are where you are, serving where you are because of God's sovereignty, not by your doing. And when God says that's enough or come home or that's what's going to happen, that's God's business. Not afraid of Uganda. If they come and kill us, I'm going to heaven. Do I want to go? Not ready. Well, I got two grandkids to meet, you know, as well. So, but the point of it is there, man, God, you said, trust me and follow me to a place of greater service and usefulness in the kingdom of God. Oh, by the way, it's in Uganda. He said, okay. So I trust him. And so therefore, in the environment you're in, you may be the only salt or light there or a church there that can help somebody understand that the power of God is there. Watching over you, protecting you. Yea, do I walk. But we need that excuse in dealing with ourselves. Me, the server. When ministry is not going well, the first things that come to you, that came to my mind when I was over in Uganda, man, what's in it for me? I done sold my house, sold my car, gave away all of our stuff to go follow you, Lord, and this is how they repay me? But it's so easy to focus on what we want to have. Our feelings, our life, our respect. And God says, no. Maybe you think, why bother? They don't like the way I do it. I don't like the way they do it. I want to be in charge. I'm better than him. I'm better than her. I don't have time to serve. I'm busy with life. We fail to realize that life and ministry for Christians is the same thing. I'm just wasting my time. And when ministry is not going well, the first thing that comes to our heart as well is the temptation for pride. How long do I stay here, Lord? Is it time for me to get out now? I'm not being blessed by this. So I'm going to do something else. If you serve in your own strength, it will be in order for you to look good and possibly to make someone else look bad or not look as good. And in doing so, you'll find yourself trying to meet expectations that you put on yourself that you cannot even live up to. So the point of it is what? Therefore, you say, well, it's going to be very tiresome, very wearisome in doing so. But we must remember that every burden, every temptation, every challenge, every trial, every struggle, God uses every one of them to build our character. That's why James and Paul and Peter all say the same thing. Count it all joy. When you go, because all through the same writer says, because you know something. We know what God is doing in those times there. And he's saying, let God do his work. God's whole purpose is to conform you and I to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And God will do everything possible in his authority to do it. And he won't ask Mark Sloan anything. Remember what Paul said in Romans 8? God works all things together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. What is God's purpose? To conform us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So we need this excuse because through those burdens that we're experiencing, God is shaping us. He's molding us. He's redefining us. All those things that are necessary for us to become the people that God wants us to be the salt and light that God calls us to be. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Paul says this idea of dependency. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify, you will not fulfill, you will not satisfy the desires of the flesh. Amen? He continues, why? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Why? For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things God wants you to do. Because you want what God wants, right? Are you sure? You really want what God wants, right? Are you sure? So you really want what God wants, right? Are you sure? Are you willing to trust God to do only what he can do to get out of you what he wants you to do? Let's go to our last point. If we're going to enjoy the blessings and burdens of serving, it begins with our attitude, one of humility, that we serve others with the gift we will receive from God. But that attitude also lends itself to our dependency. We serve others with the strength provided by God. Attitude, dependency, and we cannot forget our purpose. Look at latter part of verse 11, verse 11c. We'll serve others with the strength for the purpose of glorifying God. That's God's ultimate purpose. The text says, in order that, in what? Some things? 90% of the things? 55% of the things. God will accept 55%. That's over half. He'll take that. Maybe I can give a little more, squeeze 60 out of it. But he says, no, what? Everything, God may be what? Glorified through Christ Jesus. Amen? So God's got a purpose. Attitude leads to dependency, that leads to a purpose. And the idea is that God's purpose for everything you and I do is to be for his glory. God wants to be praised. He wants to be extolled. He wants to be exalted. He wants his reputation of being a good God to show up through your life and my life so the world will see it. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, 31, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever it is you do it all for who? For the glory of God. Well, wait a minute, God. How about my comfort? He says, no, you do it for his glory. Well, God, what about my peace? I don't like that. Well, God says, no, you're doing it for my glory. Well, God, I just don't like them. They start on time. They want to go down to Fishing Lows. They want to go down to the Open Door Missions. But I don't want to. That's in what, Second Ward, First Ward over there? I don't want to go over there. I live in Sugar Land. But God says, well, but it's for my glory, though. Are you doing it for my glory? Or are you doing it for your comfort, your ease? The same God blessed us with life, with a car, all the things we need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. In everything you do. Then lastly, in Matthew 5:16, you've seen this verse before. It's all about the good works we do. Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Why? What's the purpose? What's the reason? So that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, good works are divinely prescribed activities called serving that are done in such a way that they benefit others and bring glory to God. That's good works. Divinely prescribed actions or activities called serving that are done in such a way that they are a benefit to others and bring glory to God. That's why the theme is be salt and light. Salt, Paul, was last time. I think Pastor discussed that one there. But not only glorify God in everything you do, but second, subpoint B, glorify God through Jesus Christ in you. Glorify God in everything you do, but glorify God through Jesus Christ in you. It's amazing how we say we have Jesus Christ in us, but the question is, do the evidence match what you say? Because God he knows that we have the tendency to make things up. We tend to be more spiritual than we think we are. We say we are. And we fail to realize that God is an all-knowing God. You see, we can fool some of the people some of the time, but we can never fool God. And so Christ says in John 15:5, if we abide in him and his word in us, he it is that bears much fruit. And he says, for apart from me, he says, don't even try it. Because nothing you will do will have an eternal value in someone's life. And by the same token, the Apostle Paul said the same thing, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship. We're created where? Where? So he is in us, and then we're in him. Why were we created? For good works. Which God prepared when? That what? So before Genesis 1:1, God saw the good hope, salt, and light ministry fair. He saw those various ministries and various groups there here to give us an opportunity to serve God. And so he put it on Pastor Kofi's heart years ago, but we finally got to it now. But the point is, they are there for us to go and see and get an idea, what can I do to help further God's kingdom? Because it's not about me. It's about his kingdom. Remember this prayer? thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, we must be careful when you pray that prayer, because when you say thy will be done on earth, you're saying, God, bring your will done on earth through me. I want to be the servant that you use to bring forth your will on earth in my area of influence. That's how he wants to use you. So in order to enjoy the blessings and burdens and serving others, make sure your focus is right. You see, take our focus off of ourselves. Take our focus off of others from the fact that we are there to serve them. Don't matter who they are. Don't matter why they came. Don't matter what they have or don't have. Don't matter how they smell. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that we focus on our attitude. Is it an attitude of humility that says, God, I'm yours? What's the old song said? Everything I am, everything I'm not, everything I have, everything I got. And the goal is to focus on our attitude. Check your heart. It's been a serious challenge where I am, where we are. Because we deal with difficult people. Sometimes the people we serve with, they're difficult. Have been in an environment that could be questionable. And deal with me. People always say, well, when you coming home? To stay, they mean. I said, I don't know. God called us to go there. I said, it's up to him. For the last 2.5 years, he's been watching over us, our health, safety, all those things. I'm not going to hope Marshall agrees with me. I'm not going to press to go home anytime sooner than he say. We put our wills together that says that we go see Jesus Christ before he come get us. And we're in the continent of Africa. Cremate us, bring us home to this church. Put a little urn right there. See, that's Mark Sloan. Well, it was Mark Sloan. Her will says the same thing. When God says go home, or if he calls us home and to go see him before he comes see us, same thing. We didn't sign up for serving for just a part-time thing. Because God says, no, we're in this for life. I struggle. I'm going to sit down after this. I've been too long. I'm sorry. I struggle initially with the idea, why are we going to Africa? At the time, 60 years old. Why pack up and leave America? We have everything in Houston. The best medical center in the world. The best foods in the world. Yep, that's right. Yeah. I can't say the best football team. I'm a Cowboys fan. So, okay. But I said, Lord, why now? Why you didn't send us out 40 years ago? We were young, plenty of energy, crazy. I said 40, because 40 was one before we got married. We married 39 years, so one is 40. You didn't get that? Okay. And then God showed me Matthew 9, 37, 38. Christ tells the disciples to, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. He says, beg God. Plead with God. to send out laborers into his harvest. And then God says, well, Mark, you weren't ready then. He says, I wanted you to have, at the time, 37 years of marriage. He said, I wanted you to have 30 plus years of ministry experience and leadership roles through Good Hope Other Churches as well. God said, I wanted you to be seminary trained and understand scripture and theology, all those things. He said, I wanted you to have 30 plus years in engineering, traveling all over the world and being in some cultures other than American culture. He says, but I had to wait for all that to happen in my life and in her life. And says, now you're ready to go. You see, the Lord of the harvest knows every detail about his harvest. He knows who he wants. He knows where he wants them to go. He knows when he wants them to go. He knows how long he wants them to stay. He knows what life circumstances that he wants them to come through. He knows what skill set he wants them to have. God says, okay, Mark, you up. While he was getting me ready for this part of our journey, he was also getting them ready. Because they had never seen a servant come there speaking the word of God like this. So I've experienced those blessings and those burdens in ministry. One last thing, I'm sorry. I'm showing you how what God does in this idea of serving. We were in Tanzania learning Kiswahili. And as it got toward the end of our lecture time, class time, 4 months. We're getting ready for our graduation. And each student had to have something to say, and I was kind of the president of the class. And what you wrote down, you had to say it in Swahili. You couldn't do it in English. So we're writing stuff out, and God brought to my mind, he says, Mark, remember, you know, a year or so ago, he does that to me all the time. He said, you fussed and was rebelled against going to learn a foreign language. Because my reasoning was, man, I'm 60 years old, Lord. I mean, my mind is already sealed and solid. I can't learn nothing. Man, what are you talking about? And he says, but Mark, don't think about you. He says, you thought I was sending you to Tanzania, for you to bless them. But he said, no, you misunderstood. I sent you there for them to bless you all, to get you ready for what was coming next. And then he said something that brought tears to my eyes. He said, Mark, remember when you were 8, 9, 10 years old, there was a show that came on Saturday mornings, Saturday afternoons, every Saturday called Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. Y'all know that show? As a kid, man, every Saturday be home in time to watch Mutual of Omaha Wild Kingdom. Marlon Perkins. He's all around the Serengeti Plains, dealing with giraffes this week and maybe elephants next week and maybe wildebeest this week and all those kind of things like that. And I was always saying, man, one day I want to go there. But God says, Mark, remember that? He says, you forgot about it, but I didn't. He says, look where you are. If I had wanted it my way and rebelled against what God wanted you to do in my life to help serve others, I'd have missed it. So we had a chance to go on safaris, all those things. The same things I dreamed about seeing 40, 50 years ago. But the Lord says, you forgot about it. He says, but I didn't. You can't tell me that the God we serve is not a good God. He has a plan for your life and for my life. And that plan includes serving others. There is no other way to do it. If you want to grow in your maturity in the body of Christ, if you want to be more spiritual and from the standpoint of your maturity, you got to serve. You cannot sit on the sideline and mature. You have to be with people that are difficult. You have to be with people, you have to serve with people who are difficult. You have to be in difficult or trying environments. And you got to deal with yourself. That's why and that's how we can enjoy the burdens and the benefits, blessings and benefits in serving others. Thank you for your time today. Let us pray. Well, Father, once again, we are just in awe of you. Lord, it's been 2+ years since we've been here. And all the experiences that you have brought us through. We've experienced blessings, and we're also experiencing burdens. But Father God, our attitude is right. We don't doubt your call of our lives. We are moving full speed ahead because our attitude says it is about you and not about me. Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit, the iskous, the capability, Father God, to function effectively, Father, to minister effectively, despite what we're going to run into. And lastly, Father God, our purpose is clear. It is for your glory. So thank you for those who are here today, Father, those who are watching via streaming. Father, we pray that something was said or done. Your Holy Spirit would take it, Lord, and then have everyone in this room under the sound of my voice check their hearts, dear God. Check their attitude. Check their dependency, Lord. Check their purpose, Father God. And understand that serving others is the absolute best way, or better yet, the only way to become more like Christ. Father, thank you once again for those who are here to hear today. May you be glorified in us. We thank you and ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.